We read from Holy Scripture tonight, first of all, chapter 1 of the Acts of the Apostles, which really should be the Acts of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, the first 14 verses, and then we're going to read the last part of Hebrews 4. First of all, then, Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now we turn to Hebrews chapter 4, and we begin our reading at verse 11. Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the Word of God. We call your attention to verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I always think it's too bad that Ascension Day is so little thought of. We remember Christmas with a great deal of celebration. We remember Good Friday and Easter, but the Ascension passes almost unnoticed. And it's so significant in the work of our Savior. Tonight, we're given the privilege of celebrating Jesus' departure from this earth into the glory of heaven at his Father's right hand. This is really the beginning of the crowning event of the Lord's ministry of salvation, the one event that yet remains to be fulfilled, namely, his return at the end of the ages. Now, the ascension signifies that Jesus has accomplished all but that last step in the work of redemption. At the cross, Jesus earned for us the righteousness of God. He was raised from the dead as the victor over that last enemy and the grave. All is accomplished. We are saved, having been justified. And our Savior is exalted, given a name that is above every name. He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all of this is so significant for the church of our Lord in this world. God's church is a little flock, tempted, scorned, persecuted to one degree or another, hated by the world of unbelief, while the powers of sin and Satan are strong and raging. Often it appears that they will overwhelm God's little flock. But we need never fear. We need not fear even when Antichrist appears as God. For our high priest is passed into the heavens, and he is Lord. That is the encouraging message of the gospel of the ascension of our Lord Jesus. Notice the connection between doctrine and life. We have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who is passed into the heavens. And really what we have there is the entire doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is known in Reformed doctrine as Christ in His names, natures, office, and states. It's really all there in that one little verse. Our great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, is passed into the heavens. The practical part flows right out of that doctrine. What does that mean for you and me today, right now, in this life? And what does it mean tomorrow when we go back to work, when we're busy in the home or in school or whatever our occupation and daily life may entail? It means this: let us hold fast our profession. The point is, we don't simply believe some points of doctrine that are summed and set forth systematically in the back of our psalters, in the three forms of unity, the Reformed confessions and the ecumenical creeds, one of which we confess at every evening service and another of which we read tonight. No, we live and we walk in that precious truth of the gospel. It affects our lives. It makes a difference. It defines who and what we are and how we are to live before the face of God, and how the church needs this precious word. Always the enemies of the faith would lure the church from her profession. Always the threat is there, and we're inclined to fear and despair. But the ascension gospel assures us our great high priest is ascended into the heavens, far above all powers, at God's right hand. And there, as our great high priest, Jesus intercedes for us before the face of His Father in heaven. He blesses us with all spiritual blessings. He leads and preserves us in the faith to the very end. And what is more, that great high priest, our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is ruler over all things. There is no authority, there is no power that lies outside of Jesus' lordship. Let's hold fast then to our profession. Ours is the victory in our ascended great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. Holding fast our profession is the theme of this verse. Let's consider together what that profession is, how we are to hold fast to it, and the incentive to hold fast to our profession. The idea in general is this: our profession is that which we say together with others. The word itself means to say the same thing together with others. That's what we say together as the saints of God, as members of Christ's body. We all say the same thing together with each other. And we say that same thing together with each other and with our God. And what God says He says here in His inspired and infallible Word. Does God speak in His creation? Yes, He does. However, what God says in His creation is not another word alongside of what He says here in His Word, the Holy Scriptures, as some would have us believe these days. Oh, no. What He says in His creation can only be understood by faith through what He says here in His Word. His Word, as Calvin used the metaphor, are the eyeglasses through which we see God in His creation. Without those eyeglasses, we're blind. It's that simple. We say the same thing that God says right here in His Word and in His creation, as seen in the light of and through the power of His Word. The content of that profession, therefore, is the truth of God's Word. Yes, it's that which in the communion of the saints has been given us to know of the wonderful works of God. It's the knowledge of the glory of His sovereign and particular grace in Jesus Christ. It's the blessedness of salvation. It's the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins and of covenant fellowship and friendship with the God of our salvation. In brief, it's that through which, that which in the Word has been revealed by the Holy Spirit concerning the knowledge of the living God. And that profession, people of God, is sharply defined. We don't just in general have some Bible knowledge. Rather, it is set forth, it is summarized in our Reformed confessions, the three forms of unity. That great gift of God is not the inspired Scriptures, but we certainly believe, heart and soul, do we not, that our Reformed creeds express, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, who guides the church into all the truth, express in summary form, in logical order, the truth of God's Word. That's what's been revealed to us. That's the truth. That's the profession of our faith. People of God, there's still more. We haven't said it all. No, we have not. Our profession is the truth of the Word of God as summed in the confessions and as taught here in this Christian church. Without shame, without apology, we say by God's grace and by God's grace alone, not through any merit of ours, not by any strength in us, for we have none. We have, as Protestant Reformed churches and as members of those churches, we're standing within a glorious heritage of the truth called the Reformed faith. And we are privileged to preach and to believe and live the truth of the Word of God. People of God, that calls for one response and one response only. Humble. I say it again. Humble thanks to God. Joyful, humble thanks. God's absolute sovereignty as the Almighty Creator who spake and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast, and in 6 days made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them by and for the Word, Jesus Christ. God, the God of our salvation, the Redeemer of those whom He in His sovereign good pleasure conformed to the image of His dear Son, with whom He established His everlasting covenant of grace and friendship, and whom He redeemed through the precious blood of His Son, crucified, risen, and ascended to glory, returned in the Spirit, and coming again. That is our profession, not merely some nice logical propositions of doctrine preserved there in the back of the Psalter and in God's Word, some pieces of dogma to which we simply assent, but it doesn't have anything to do with our living. No, it's our profession. In the fellowship of the saints, here in God's church, we embrace that truth with a true and vibrant faith. It's become a part of us. We have it in the marrow of our bones, as it were. It controls, it dominates, it determines, and sets the direction of all our living in this world. How we speak, what we do, how we live as husbands and wives, as fathers and mothers, as children and youth, where we go, our entertainment, our lives in this world, our work and our play, and our life surely in the church of our Lord. That profession determines everything in our daily life, so that we're living witnesses of the truth of God, showing forth His praises, the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In one word, that profession is Christ. Christ. But the Spirit works in the heart of every believer, congregation, by means of the Word is simply this, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what we say together. Isn't that beautiful? What a wonderful profession. Jesus of Nazareth, the historical Jesus, the Son of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin, laid in the manger in Bethlehem, clothed in rags, for whom there never was in all this world any room, who had no form, as the prophet tells us, or comeliness, no beauty that we should desire Him, despised, rejected of men, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, the man from whom men hid their faces, who never had a name, a position, or power, or earthly fame. The servant of servants who died on a cross and whom men today still despise, ignore, reject. That Jesus is Lord. That's the heart of the Christian faith. He's Lord in Himself. Even Jesus, the text says, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, the one who is before all things, by whom, for whom, all things were made, in whom all things consist, Jesus is Lord and has all power in heaven and on earth. And He emptied Himself, was found in fashion as a man, took on Him the form of a servant, and descended into the deep, dark way of the suffering, of the agonies and terrors of hell on the cross for you and for me. For that reason, God has highly exalted him. He has a name above every name. God did not leave his Holy One in hell. He raised him from the dead, testifying thereby, as Scripture says, that he was righteous. And he exalted him 40 days after the resurrection, when from the Mount of Olives he was taken up in the sight, and the cloud received him out of the sight of his disciples as he ascended to glory. Our great high priest passed into the heavens. The captain of our salvation was made perfect through his sufferings. Now he sits far above all principalities and power. He's given a name above every name. Jesus is Lord. That's our profession. That's what we say together as the saints of God. And that's what we live as God's saints in the midst of this world. Jesus is Lord. Not a Lord, the Lord. Universal and absolute. And because he's our Lord, we confess, I'm not my own. Body and soul, in life and in death, I belong to my faithful Savior. This Christ is my Christ. His mind is my mind. His law is my delight. We deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him always and everywhere, confessing together, Jesus is Lord. I belong to him. That's our profession. Hold it fast, people of God. Hold it fast. You know what that means? That's a powerful term. It means to take possession, to have power, to be the master of something. What that means is we're masters of this profession. We hold it, you see. We have it in our possession. That means we know it, doesn't it? We receive the truth. We can't hold on to something we have no knowledge of. And we know it because we diligently and faithfully attend the worship of the church. We come here Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and also on special services, to hear by means of the preaching of the gospel the voice of our good shepherd and to be taught by him. It means diligently we instruct our children in this truth and tell them that Jesus is their Lord. And we send them off to schools where they will be taught to know all things in God's creation and prepared for their callings in life in the light of the profession we're given to hold. We exhort them not only by word of mouth, but by the example of our lives to hold fast to that. We'll take that word prayerfully in our homes, in private devotions, and we'll take advantage of Bible study in the church as well. And people of God will be zealous for that truth, will love it, and will be unashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Reject all heresies repugnant to it, and we'll know that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. We'll be living witnesses, then. We aren't going to hide that under a bushel, the light of that profession. Oh, no. Not as churches either. We'll give and give and give so that by word of mouth, by the preaching of missionaries, wherever God leads, wherever he opens doors, in this continent or abroad, will preach the gospel in order that the elect may be gathered, a witness may be left to the nations, and the end of all things may come. And we'll see to it that the word is preached here in the sanctuaries of our churches, so that in our daily life we're enabled by the grace of the means of grace to forsake the world, crucify the old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And we'll reveal ourselves as Christ's holy bride in the midst of this world. Jesus is Lord. What a word. A word that has to do with matters of life and death, doesn't it? Nothing may come before this. Nothing. Nothing at all. The lordship of Jesus is absolute. Absolute. It's never both and. It's never in the way of compromise. We're not to be excused from holding it fast for any reason. Any reason at all. This must be our life. And never may we accommodate to the world or compromise with sin. We're going to be opposed then. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Satan and his hosts will tempt with false doctrine, will entice with the pleasures and treasures of the world, will threaten, will mock, will ridicule and persecute. And the ungodly and his allies are operating feverishly today. Many are the signs which point to the day when the whole world will be united for a little while under the Antichrist. And those lacking the mark of the beast in their foreheads and right hands will be able neither to buy or sell. Don't be afraid of that. Don't focus on that either, except to know in your hearts and believe that day is coming, and be ready for it by holding fast our profession. We have a wonderful incentive. Oh, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He's our great high priest. As the priest, he sacrificed not the blood of bulls and goats and all that. Oh no, those were just pictures. He sacrificed his own blood and obtained for us the forgiveness of sin and the righteousness of God. And he's still busy as our high priest, interceding for us before his Father. And he knows our needs. He's touched, the text says so, with the feeling of our infirmities. In all points he was tempted like we are. He knows our weaknesses, he knows our trials, our griefs, our temptations, our sufferings, and our dying. And he prays for us a perfect prayer. Father, keep them in thy love and care. And the Father supplies all our need according to the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus, our great high priest. And he is just that. He is great. His name is Jesus, Jehovah Salvation, who brought us into God's fellowship. The Son of God, the Eternal One, very God of very God, as we confessed with the Nicene Creed. All things are of him, and all things consist in him. Even the forces of darkness are under his control and cannot do anything except serve his purpose in all their raving fury against Christ himself and his body, the church. They serve our salvation. That one is passed into the heavens for us. God didn't leave him in the grave. He didn't suffer him to see corruption. He exalted him to his own right hand through the heavens. That's what happened at the ascension. Jesus passed through the heavens. He has a name above every name. Look to him then, holding fast our profession. Look to him in faith. Cling to him. He's your blessed Savior. And be assured, the work that he began, he will finish to the very end. Cling to him. Will never, never be put to shame. Understand, when you look to Jesus, Satan is not Lord. The nations do not rule. Sin has no lordship. The world may rave, it may threaten, it may tempt, it may persecute, it may boast of all its achievements, it may say there is no God, but their doom was sealed. 2,000 years ago at Calvary, when Jesus said with a loud voice, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And I know and you know that that is true, because our great high priest who said that is passed into the heavens. The heavens there to appear in the presence of God for you and me. Let's hold fast then without fear. He's Lord. And death, that's not the end. Oh, I know it's the last enemy. Of course it is. And we think about it. And we weep when God takes loved ones from us. Of course we do. We sorrow. But not as those who have no hope. Death for us is no more the wrath and judgment of God. Death for us is the way that Jesus went into heaven on our behalf. When we die, as it were, we are walking in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus, right with him into God's very presence. And he's going to come again. That's what the angels said to those disciples gazing up into heaven, thinking perhaps that they had lost their Lord. Why are you gazing up into heaven? He shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. And when he comes, he's going to take us to be with him in Father's house of many mansions. World without end. And so as we hold fast our profession, our prayer is, isn't it? Come, Lord Jesus. Yes. Come quickly. Amen. Father, that is indeed our prayer. We thank thee that we dare to say that that is our prayer, because we know by thy grace and Holy Spirit that our Lord Jesus is passed into the heavens through the way of the cross and death and the agonies of hell into the glory of thy presence. And we too are following him to be with thee. Grant us grace to hold fast our profession. To thy name's glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen.